Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Nice enough to join us. Longtime friend of the station. He works here, for crying out loud. ESPN NBA insider, Nets beat reporter, the one, the only, Nick Friedell. How you doing, brother Nick?
Guys, I miss you. I was just telling Charlie before I came on, it never stops. This, all the stuff, the drama that goes around with this team and the league itself, it just never, ever stops. And to think that the Warriors go with it all and are rolling now, and I'm hanging around the Nets, who have nonstop drama because of Kyrie, it is pretty funny.
Shout out the clash with Should I Stay or Should I Go, Kyrie Irving. What? Thank you, Nick. And Kevin Durant may or may not want to be there. But Durant's got 4 years and $190-plus million. Doesn't it really come down to Kyrie? And how much does Kevin want Kyrie to go elsewhere?
Mr. Gibbs, I think that the Nets front office has got to love the fact that KD came out on his podcast this morning, or at least it was released this morning, and he said, hey, I'm just trying to stay out of this whole thing. And once he said that, to me, the tea leaves are, hey, I saw how screwed up everything got at times this past season. And he is close with Kyrie, but I've been told a couple different times, even in the last couple weeks, while he's very close and he's loyal to Kyrie and that friendship has always been there, it's also not as close always as it appears to be from what we see on the floor. And in the times that he has publicly defended him, yes, they're close friends, but I don't think Kevin is going to stand in the way, from what he said, of if the Nets want to move on in a different direction. Because let's get real here about this whole situation. The Nets' whole season last year got derailed because of Kyrie. If Kyrie has gotten vaccinated and played in those games, the entire tenor of that year is different. James Harden for sure is still there because he was the one after the game in January that said, I'm going to give Kyrie the shot myself. So there's a lot of different layers in this, but in the short term, I thought it was very telling that Kevin came out and said, hey, I'm going to let the organization kind of handle it and work it out with Kyrie, because Dibs, you and I both know, if Kevin was strong enough in his feeling of wanting Kyrie back, then he would say, I want Kyrie back. And the fact that he kind of laid it out the way that he did leads me to believe that if they do go in that other direction, that he will have signed off on it.
Nick Friedell with us here on 95.7 The Game. It's Willard and Dibs, Whitey in for Willard. So given all that, Nick, and I know my understanding is Kyrie has till Wednesday to decide what he wants to do, whether he wants to opt in. Is there any real chance that he stays, given all that? And if he does ask for a sign-in trade, do you have any idea where he's likely to end up?
Whitey, I think the Nets are kind of hoping that he does pick it up.
Uh-huh.
Like a prove-it year. Like, all right, pick up your $36 million option. Show us that you want to play every day, and then we'll be willing to talk at the end of next year. But if he wants extra years and he wants the certainty of those guarantees, it sure seems like he's going to have to go elsewhere. But to the point about where he would go, the question then becomes, if he opts out or he's going to try to force the Nets' hand on getting a signing trade, he's going to probably have to leave a whole lot of money on the table. And we're talking about at least $30 million this year if he's going to one of the teams that are on that list that we heard about last night. And then after that, Kyrie, having been around him, guys, you just aren't sure where his head is at all the time. And one day you might think it's going one way, and the next day it could be something totally different. And that's what I think the Nets, frankly, are sick of. I think Sean Marks laid it out pretty well, and he spoke for a lot of people when he gave that end-of-season press conference the other day and saying, hey, we want guys who want to be here. And nobody questioned Kyrie's talent, but they questioned the desire to be in there day after day after day. So if he does leave, and Whitey, you know, who knows what's going to happen in these next few days, feels like the Lakers would probably be the place he would want to go to the most because of the relationship with LeBron. But I would just warn any team that's going to get into business with Kyrie Irving. The talent is there, and that has always been the case. But you are going to lead the league in a category that nobody wants to lead the league in, and that's drama. And that is something that's just not going to go away if you put Kyrie Irving on your team.
Maybe get an Advil sponsorship for the headaches, eh, Nick?
Whatever it takes, maybe. There's got to be a way to monetize the whole thing all the time. And knowing Kyrie, I'm sure he would get into some kind of business with all of it, too.
No doubt. You mentioned the Lakers. What other team do you think he could join of the rumored teams? Clippers, Knicks, Heat, Mavericks, Sixers. What other team could he make the biggest impact on?
I would think he would really do well in Dallas. And Dibs, Mark Cuban has an ego big enough to believe that I'm sure it could potentially work there with Luka. I don't see it working in Miami. I know there's a lot of questions there, especially if Kevin were to leave as well. But I was just covering that team for the last 6 weeks or so, and that is a culture down there that is defined by showing up and putting in the work and being about the team. And maybe things could change with Pat Riley and Eric Spoelstra. Maybe it is possible. I wouldn't put my money on it, though. So out of all those other teams, if he really wants to go and be in a great place and try to win, I would think Dallas actually fits, and he could fit there. But, again, I say that they want Luka to have the ball and be able to create. Well, so Kyrie needs that, too. I mean, Kyrie needs the ability to kind of choose his own path offensively and needs the structure of having guys around him who can help him in a lot of different ways. So from a basketball standpoint, Kyrie is really, really good enough to find a way to make it work in different situations. But it's just all the other stuff that when you're paying a guy that much money, for me, if I was running a team, I wouldn't want to get involved in it.
Yeah, the drama is just not conducive to winning. Nick Friedell with us on 95.7 The Game. Nick, I understand Durant wanted to leave OKC. Okay, he wanted to come here, fine. He wanted to leave here, fine. But I do question how in the world he thought this was going to end differently, hitching his wagon to Kyrie Irving, given what Kyrie did in Boston. So what was KD expecting? Why in the world did he expect that Kyrie would be more stable with the Nets than it's turned out?
Whitey, it's a great question, and I think the answer, at least for Kevin, is he was just trusting his friend. And they had developed a solid friendship off the floor. They've known each other a while, and the feeling was, hey, you know, we can make this work, and we'll be there for each other. And for a variety of different reasons. Everybody will focus on the vaccine stuff, but there was stuff 2 years ago. You know, what was he going to show up, and was he in a right mental frame of mind? I don't know. And if Whitey, if we have learned anything through the years to try and read what's going on in Kevin's mind, that is something that drives him nuts from a media standpoint, but only he can answer those questions. The only thing I would say to the people out there in the Bay who are going to listen to this conversation, and they're screaming at the radios right now saying, oh, see, you never should have left Steph. You never should have left Steph. I think it goes beyond that. I would always argue that Kevin was just kind of done with the Warriors experience. I don't think personally it had anything to do with Steph, because I think even today those two are pretty close, and that relationship has withstood Same goes for Draymond. They had their problem at the end of that third season, but obviously they have patched things up. I just think Kevin was done with his time on that team. What you can always question and will be questioned about for years and years to come in the annals of NBA history, why of all people would he attach himself to Kyrie Irving? And only he has that answer, but I think it goes back to the friendship that had been built, the trust that was involved, and the feeling of, well, we can make it work together. But Whitey, as we've seen, this doesn't seem like anybody can really make it work with Kyrie at this point, at this stage in his career.
Yeah, if he's not going to put in the work, it's tough to win a championship when you don't have that work. LeBron James, for all his peculiarities, has always been one of the hardest workers in the association. You mentioned being tired of the Warriors' way. Can you ever see Andrew Wiggins growing tired of what has become the Wiggins way with the Warriors?
I don't see how, because Mr. Dibbs, that organization has forever changed the narrative around Wiggins' career. And it is a credit to Andrew Wiggins, I've said it time and time again over the last few months, that he has embraced the culture that the Warriors have, and he has become the type of player that we have seen, because especially in the last few months, he's reached a level that, sure, I think some people thought was possible, but after what they had seen in Minnesota all those years, they never thought the consistency of that level would ever be there. And the Warriors have brought the most out of him. So I know he's got a little time left on that deal, but Dibs, if you're Andrew Wiggins, why would you leave? You've got a team that believes in you. You've got players and teammates that trust you and that know you're going to be out there every night playing at a very high level. That's what he's been searching for his entire career. I mean, this team is the gold standard right now, not only in the league, but for any player who has gotten miscast, at least in their mind, and wants a fresh start somewhere. The Warriors have shown that they can be that team, and there is no more shining example of that than the transformation of Andrew Wiggins over the last year or so.
Nick, as for the point you made about Kyrie, I mean, at this point, hitching your wagon to Kyrie is about as advisable as hitching your wagon to Ray Ratto's. I mean, just those prima donnas, you know, it's like, good luck. Go ahead. We wish you all the luck in the world. But I want to ask you, Nick, and I know that there were many people, you were among them, there were many people, including some of the Warriors, that were kind of skeptical as to whether they could do it this year. Even Steve Kerr said, yeah, I didn't know if we were a championship team. So that said, what were the Warriors able to do that allowed them to actually win this thing that you did not anticipate they would be capable of in this postseason?
Whitey, to me, it all boils down to defense. I never, never thought that the Warriors could maintain what they had done at times last season. And I know in talking to Steve Kerr, he said it many times, what they did down the stretch of last year set up how they started to perform and produce this year. But when you have a magical year like the Warriors just accomplished, you have to hit all over the place. Gary Payton II, who was an afterthought all across the league for years, was trying to find his way, became a huge part of that. Otto Porter continued to get hurt and appeared to be on the other side of his career. He was solid and was out there all the time. I mean, Jordan Poole takes a leap. Wiggins takes another leap in his career. Whitey, you have to make sure that all of these different pieces hit in a manner that lifts up everybody else around them. And when you talk about defense, Draymond at times wasn't very good the last couple of years. He comes in to start this season, and he was awesome. And he was awesome again at times in the postseason when they needed him. So when you have all of those things working for you, and then you add the greatness that is Steph Curry, you get the type of stuff that happened over the last year. But to me, if you're looking at how did the Warriors get to this point when myself and plenty of other people in the organization were like, I don't know if it's going to happen this season. It's because defensively everything came together and it stayed intact all year. And when the offense wasn't clicking or Clay couldn't get it going after the injury at times, That defense was always something they could carry with them and they could rely upon when they needed it in the biggest games.
Yeah, great point. Nick, we appreciate your time. Before we let you go, anything at all jump out to you about the draft last night?
Not really. I mean, Whitey, all the people usually who tell you this or that after the draft are people who have seen these guys three or four times all year. And I tell you, after all the years covering the NBA, all the prognostications and all the fans that get all upset about this pick or that pick the day after, my word of advice always is, let's let this thing play out.
Oh, how dare you.
Three seasons.
How dare you, Nick? I defy you to ask me about any player in the draft, and I've already scouted this player. I've spent 100 hours on each player, Nick. Ask me anything.
There's a 0% chance of that, Mr. Dibbs, although I do love you. And I would just throw this name out there because I think it brings the conversation full circle. Jordan Poole was drafted at the end of that first round a few years ago.
I like the player.
Jordan Poole, he was awful. I mean, he was terrible that first year and a half. They get him into the structure of what they're building. They know he's going to put in the work, and we all see what he did the last year or so. But he is another shining example of what can be and why you can't write off anybody too early.
Well, you go back to my draft coverage that year, Nick, and I said I like the upside of a player who's got a lot of confidence in the half court. He can score at all three levels, Nick. I gave that pick a C+.
Yeah, a lot of guys with a lot of high motor, huh?
High motor's always in there. A lot of upside. He's very coachable. He can score at all three levels, Nick.
High basketball IQ.
Totally, all that and more.
Scheme diverse, yeah. Thank you, Brother Nick. We appreciate it. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
Always, guys. I miss you. I'll talk to you later.
All right, Nick.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.